Good afternoon. We are beginning our fifth class on Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud, and Rav Kook. Today we're going into a little bit of a different place. This is actually going to be a two-part talk on Rav Kook's perspective on the connection between the Torah and Eretz Yisrael. And as we'll see, not that I'm spoiling the end, but that Rav Kook is of the opinion that the observance of Torah is different in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz La'aretz, not just in the sense of the way we usually understand it, which is that it's different amounts of things, different numbers of mitzvot. So for example, in Chutz La'aretz, I remember always hearing the irony that in America, if you go to someone who you don't know what their observance of kosher is, you cannot eat their meat, but you can eat any of the fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
But in Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat the fruits and vegetables because of Truma, Shemitah, Truma, Masrot, all those other obligations. But the meat is generally kosher, right? It's hard to get, or at least it used to be, hard to get non-kosher meat in Eretz Yisrael. So we usually, when we interpret the connection between Torah and Eretz Yisrael, we usually see it as a more of a quantity rather than quality. Meaning that in Eretz Yisrael we can do more mitzvot, and in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora, we do less mitzvot. But what Rav Kook is going to explain to us is that even in the quality of the mitzvot, doing mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael is on a higher level than doing the same mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz. It's not just mitzvot that are related to land, obviously, but even things like if you have a mezuzah on your door. In Eretz Yisrael, that's a higher level of observance of the mitzvah of mezuzah than in Chutz La'aretz. So see, that's what he's going to explain. So we're going to do this in two parts. The first part we're going to discuss in this week is a little bit more theoretical. Again, this is not going to be so much of the previous talks about Zionism and Eretz Yisrael. It's more about the nature of the land itself. But as you'll see, what he's trying to explain to us is the actual. So first, what we're going to see today is why he understands that this is the case. And as we explained last week, Rav Kook understands these things sometimes not in the place where we are looking. Like we saw last week, we saw in the teachings of Chizkiyahu, he talks about the different mitzvot that Chizkiyahu did, and Rav Kook built a whole tower of the perspective of Zionism and redemption and miracles and our hishtadlut and our efforts and how we have to, you know, fight a physical war in a line in the Talmud that we would never have gone there. In the same way, Rav Kook is going to take a whole perspective that he's going to bring out from a place where we would never see. But that's the brilliance of Rav Kook, that he could see in one layer of text much more than we could ever imagine. So where he's coming from, before we get into the Gemara, is a pasuk in Parashat Shemot. In Parashat Shemot, we have the Jewish people become avadim, hayinu, leparo b'mitzrayim. That occurs in Parashat Shemot. And the Jewish people suffer for a long time, a very long time. We have to take into the following perspective. I know we think of the Holocaust as the Holocaust is truly the greatest crime that humanity has ever committed. But in terms of time, the Holocaust was actually very short. Baruch Hashem, you know, thank goodness.
Short. 4.5 years.
Yeah. I know that sounds long, but in the relative, compare that to, let's say, the enslavement of the Jewish people in Egypt for 210 years, right? And even Vayamaru et Chayehem, which is when the very difficult slavery happened where they mamash worked us, that was 86 years. How do we know 86? Because Vayamaru et Chayehem started when Amram and Yocheved had a daughter called Miriam, they named her Miriam.
Ma.
Because Vayimaru et Chayehem, because things were getting so bitter, there was like a tefillah. And it's amazing because Miriam is actually the Nevi'ah who foretold of the redemption. And when after many years, Amram finally power decreed that the babies should be thrown into the water. So Amram separates from Yocheved, and Miriam goes to Amram and he says, "Kibalti nevuah, I've received a nevuah that you and my mother will give birth to the Moshian Shal Yisrael, to the savior of the Jewish people." And so Amram takes Yocheved back, and that's why Moshe is born. So that's Miriam's great nevuah. But that's how we know it's 86 years. It's a very long time, 86
Mal
years.
Mal is bitter in the yam. Does the yam have a meaning?
Yeah, so it's related to the fact that at the end, there's many, many interpretations, but I'm just going to share one, that at the end, people didn't realize how great Miriam was until the Shira by the yam, when Miriam brought out all the women and they sang the song together. So that was from the beginning of her prophecy to the end of her prophecy. So if you look at the end of the Shira, it says, "Vatikach Miriam hanevia, achot Aaron et atof biyada." Miriam the prophetess. The Torah doesn't usually refer to her as Miriam hanevia, but here it does, because she is Mar, was the beginning of the bitterness, and Yam is the end of it, and so her name contains both. That's one of the explanations, but there's other explanations as well. And so, coming back to where we are, after 86 years of very difficult suffering, Moshe is now 80 years old. He's 6 years younger than Miriam. Hashem comes to Moshe, Belabat Esh mitoch hasne, from the burning bush, and says to him, "Anochi Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your forefathers, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Vayomer Hashem," and Hashem said, "Ra'o ra'iti et ani ami, I've seen the affliction of my people, Asher b'Mitzrayim," that's in Egypt. Right? You were talking about going to Egypt, so. "B'etzakatam shamati," and I heard their cries, "mipnei nogzav," because of the Egyptians who are afflicting them, "ki yadati et machovav," I know their pain. This is sometimes something that people forget, that God knows our pain, God knows what pain is, even if God doesn't feel pain in the way that human beings feel pain, but God understands, because God created all of these feelings. "V'ered lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim," my plan is to go down and to save the Jewish people, "ulahaloto min ha'aretz ahi el eretz tova urechava," to a land that's good and expansive. That's where we get in the Birkat HaMazon, in the benching, "eretz chemda tova urechava," that's taken from this pasuk, "el eretz zavat chalav udvash," to a land flowing with milk and honey, "el makom haknani v'hachiti v'emori v'aprizi v'achivi v'ayvusi," right now all those nations are there, but I'm going to bring you to this land, "v'ata," now, "hine tzakat b'nei Yisrael ba'alai," the Jewish people are crying, "v'gam ra'iti et halachatz asher Mitzrayim lochatzim otam," I see the pressure that they are under, all the suffering. 86 years it took, but you know, Hashem saw our pressure.
The whole generation.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many Jews died before? "V'ata," so now, "lecha go, v'eshlachacha el paro," I will send you to Paro, "v'otze atami b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim," bring out my people. What's Moshe's response? Not like Avram, who says, "Hineni." Moshe's response is, "Mi anochi." Right, that's Moshe is so humble. "Mi anochi? Who am I? Ki elech el Paro, I should go to Paro. V'chi otzi et b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim, me?" "Vayomer," Hashem says, "No, you're not going alone. Ki ehyeh imach, I will be with you. V'zelecha ha'ot, ki anochi shlachticha." But I know you're worried. I mean, there's many ways of reading this pasuk. I'm picking one. I know you're worried that people will say, well, how do we know that really God is leading this? People will think that it's just Moshe. Don't worry.
Also, it's Hakarat HaTov. Moshe grew in Paro's house. And now he'll come and he'll warn him.
Right.
Paro, and but Paro saved his life.
Yeah, that's all part of it, yeah. But he didn't say that. His point was, Mi Anochi, right? I'm not deserving.
He didn't have confidence.
Anav, it says in the Torah, the most humble.
Yeah.
Right? It's amazing because you know we think of great people, there should be harder to be an Anav.
Yeah.
But Moshe was the greatest and he was the biggest Anav, right? So Hashem says to him, don't worry. People are not going to think that you're coming on your own. You will come to this mountain. Because they're standing on Sinai, right? Because when it says that he came to the mountain, it says Vayavo el Har Ha'Elokim Choreva, right? They're standing on Har Sinai. Hashem says, I want you to bring them back to this spot. And here on this spot, you will serve me, and there everyone will know that I sent you. So Moshe already tried. The who am I? And Hashem says, well, no, I'm not sending you on your own. You're going to bring them to me, and I will speak to the Jewish people. It's all going to be good. But Moshe still doesn't want to go. So what does he say? Vayomer Moshe el ha'Elokim. Hine anochi ba'al b'nei Yisrael, when I come to the Jewish people, v'amarti lahem, and I will say to them, Elokei avotechem shlachani alechem. The God of your fathers sent me to you. Amru li, and they will say to me, Mashemo, what's God's name? Ma Omar Alehem, what should I say to them? That's a very interesting question that Moshe asks. Right? That's the biggest problem. He's going to come, and the Jewish people will say, what's God's name? We're going to talk about this because it's a very, very important question. Vayomer Elokim El Moshe, and let me read the pasuk straight with God's name. Vayomer Elohim El Moshe, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. Vayomer Ko Tomar Livnei Yisrael, Ehyeh Shlachani Alechem. Right, which translates as now when we speak Hashem's name in a pasuk, a full sentence. We are permitted, so to speak, to pronounce Hashem's name. When we are only using it in a portion of a sentence, there's different customs of how to handle it. My custom is that we use a kinui. So we don't say God's name, we say either the word Hashem. When we see the word Elokim, we say Elokim instead of the hey. So when we say the name, this name, we say Ekyeh. So I'm going to pronounce Ekyeh, but it really means the name Aleph Hey Yud Hey. It's just only when we say the whole pasuk, we use God's name. That's just my tradition, and everyone should stick to their traditions. But God says to Moshe, tell them that my name is Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. Which means, I will be what I will be. Vayomer, and then God says, Ko tomar livnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the Jewish people. Ekyeh Shlachani Alechem. God changed his mind in the middle of the verse. First Hashem says to Moshe, tell them my name is Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. I will be what I will be. And then he tells Moshe, tell them Ekyeh Shlachani Alechem. I will be. Not I will be what I will be. So that's very difficult to understand. Why is there a switch in the middle of the pasuk? This is the question that the Talmud is dealing with, the Talmud that we are about to read, and that these lines in the Talmud are what Rav Kook is going to expand on in his discussion. So let's look where it says in the Gemara. I think you marked the spot there where there's a little four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh.
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain this outside, and then we'll come inside.
Yeah.
Okay, it is the Jewish perspective, the Torah perspective, that God is above definition. You know, part of the problem, and many people will say, you know, I don't believe in God. You know, the God in the Torah is an angry God. God in the Torah is a punishing God. And the truth is, we don't believe in that either. We don't believe that God is angry or punishing. God is beyond any terms or definition or description. Because if you could define or describe God in any way, then that wouldn't be God. Right? That's what we always say to most people, most atheists who say they don't believe in God, right? The God that they don't believe in, I also don't believe in. Right? The God that I believe in is way, way beyond what they have considered of God. And these are complicated ideas. But if we only refer to God as what the Mekubalim refer to him, as Ein Sof, the endless, the infinite, the beyond description, then we can't have a relationship. Right? We can't have a relationship with something that I can't, in my mind, have some level of connection to. So God says, I want you to use the following names. And in the Torah it begins. First, Bereshit bara Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Right? In the beginning God created heaven and earth. That name Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Power. Right? God is the power of the world. That's not a description of God.
But how do you determine that Elohim is power?
But that's what the word means.
Elohim means power.
Right, why do I say that? For example, you have the Elei Haaretz, means the powerful people of the world. Or in the Torah, it says when a person is sold, you know, because they can't pay someone steals and can't pay the debt. So when they're sold, and then later he says, I don't want to leave my master. It says, V'higisho Adonav El Ho Elohim. And you should bring him to the judges. In the Torah, the judges are referred to as Elohim. Right? Or even idols are referred to as Elohim Acherim. Right? It means the authority, the power, right? The strength. These are all terms because that's what the word Aleph Lamed means, power. So the name of God is not a true description of God's essence, because God's essence is beyond description. It is a name associated with one specific midah. And each of the midot of Hashem has a different name. That's the idea that is the source for this statement in the Talmud. So when we say the name, for example, then there's another name of God, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Yeah. We use that all the time with our friends, right? You ever hear two Israelis having an argument, Adoni, right? He's not using God's name. It means my master, right? So when we use that word, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, when we say Adonai, referring to God, we mean my master. It's not God. It's a name that connects to a midah, to an attribute of God. In this case, God's mastership.
Kol Yachol.
Right. When we say Kol Yachol, that's not a description of God. That's a midah of God. Right. The God is omnipotent.
Okay.
Right. So each of the terms that we use about God, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, Kel Elyon, right? These are Rachum, Chanun, Erech HaPayim. These are all midot. But God is beyond any true description. Even the name Yud, He, Vav, He, which we refer to as the Shem Havaya, is, our sages teach us, is a conjunction. It's put together of three separate words: Haya, Hoveh, VeYihyeh. Haya was, Hoveh is, and Yihyeh will be, meaning that's the midah of God, that it's beyond time.
So every word, every description about God is the
a different midah. And that's why, if you don't understand this, that's why all the heretics go, look, in Bereshit, God is referred to by this name. In Shemot, God is referred to by this name. Must be different people wrote these books, right? That's because they have this very simplistic understanding that God has a name.
Right? But you told us that Moshe asked, what name
is Mashmo, right.
Mashmo.
Right. So what the Talmud is telling us is that what the Moshe understood, and that's what we're going to answer now, why does Moshe think, why does Moshe think that this is going to be the Jewish people's first question? I mean, let's say I come to you, and I say to you, let's say somebody's in jail, right? Somebody's in jail. And I come to them, you know, in order to get you out of jail, you're in jail because you owe, I know we don't have debtor's prison, but you failed to pay $10 million. There's an organization that will cover the $10 million for you. And then you will go free. Are you going to say, I want to see the board of directors of this organization? Who cares, right? Somebody's going to pay the bill. Let them pay the bill. If it's a person, you may want to know the name, but here, it's God. Why does Moshe think that this is going to be the first question that the Jewish people will ask? The answer is, when the Jewish people will ask Mashmo, they don't mean what name. They mean which midah.
His qualities, right?
Right. Which midah? Because if God is going to redeem them with midat hadin, that's very scary. They want to be redeemed with midat harachamim. And so God says to Moshe, Ekiah asher Ekiah, and then later Ekiah, we'll see why there's a change. This is the attribute of I am with you. The God is coming with the midah of his relationship and connection to a human being. I'm not coming, says God, because I'm the God of wrath and judgment. The Jewish people had the stories of their grandfathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of God who brought punishment on the people of the flood and the people of the Dor HaFlagah and Sodom. And right, there were a lot of, right, if you look in Sefer Bereshit, there's a lot of stories of judgment. So the Jewish people will say, okay, we're going to serve God, but which midah? That's what the question is. And so the Talmud says, God says, Hakiyah Asher Hakiyah, which means, and if you look, it fits so well into the Psukim, because God says, V'ata hinei tzakat b'nei Yisrael ba'a elai. The cries of the Jewish people has come to me. You know, one of the questions that's asked is, why did God wait so long? We were in Mitzrayim for so long. Why did God wait so long? So what happens right before, mamash before, Hashem tells Moshe to come? It says, "Vayhi bayamim rabim ahem vayamat melech Mitzrayim vayeyanchu b'nei Yisrael min avodah." Where we read this in the Haggadah, "Vatal shavatam el ha'elokim." Right, the Jewish people cried and they prayed to God, and God said, "Okay, they cried, they prayed to me. Now they're close. Now there's a relationship. Now I will come and redeem them." Says the Talmud. Let's read it inside. Ekiah asher ekiah. First, Hashem says to Moshe, Amar lei hakadosh baruch hu lemoshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Lech emor lehem liYisrael. Ani hayiti imachem b'shibud zeh, v'ani ehyeh imachem b'shibud malchiyot. I have been with you throughout your Egyptian exile. And in the future, when you go to Bavel, when the Greeks will come after you, when the Persians will try to kill you, when the Romans will exile you, I will be with you then also. So what's Ekiah Asher Ekiah? It means Ekiah, I am with you now.
And later.
Asher Ekiah, and in all the future problems, I will be with you as well. So listen to this beautiful teaching. The Talmud just sometimes Amar lefanav, Moshe says, Ribono shel olam, daya letzara b'shata. Enough that we have trouble in its time. Why do the Jewish people need to hear right now that there will be future galuyot? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Lech emor lahem, go tell them, Ekyeh shlachani aleichem. Don't say, Ekyeh asher ekyeh. Just say, Ekyeh, meaning I have been with you in this exile. You don't have to bring up all the future exiles. So, according to, the Talmud is just trying to explain a simple pasuk in the Torah, right? Moshe says, when they ask me for the name, what should I say? And Hashem says, tell them, Ekyeh asher ekyeh, which means, I am with you. Not only now, but in all the future difficulties. And Moshe says, the Jewish people can't handle right now that you should tell them about future difficulties. And Hashem says, yeah, I understand. And in fact, the first time it doesn't say in the pasuk, Lechem or Lahem. Hashem just says, I am Ekyeh asher ekyeh. But when I want you to tell them is just Ekyeh shlachani aleichem. That's the line in the Talmud. Again, beautiful teaching. There's hundreds of explanations and teachings that comes from this. We're just going to focus on one, which is Rav Kook's perspective.
By the way, today we talked about Pkiim in Israel, and there is a family, the Nati, that didn't leave Israel in the last 2,000 years.
Wow.
She said, Mrs. Zanati, she has a key to the synagogue, Bet Knesset Atik, שיש בו אבנים מבית המקדש שנחרב, מבית שני, לא אומרת בר כוכבה, לא הרומאים, הם נשארו שם. היא אמרה, הגלות היחידה שהיינו זה גלות חדרה וגלות נהריה. כשהיה קצת קשה, עברנו לחדרה ולנהריה. אבל הם לא עזבו את הארץ 2,000 שנה. ויש לה עוד את המפתח של בית הכנסת. זה נתי.
Amazing. Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay, so Rav Kook is going to bring out a whole new perspective here, obviously. So here's what he says. Ikar hashlichut. Lo vaday lo tigamer ki imatsof kal hagaliyot. Teaching number one from Rav Kook. Moshe Rabbeinu's job is not done. Moshe's job was to take the Jewish people and to bring them to a land that's Eretz Zavat Chalav Dvash permanently. And you hear what Rav Kook is saying? Adayin lo iganu la'aretz. Because he's writing this in right? If there's still exile to come, lo nigmar hashlichut. Sha'az, when all the Jewish people will return for the final time, אז תיגמר התכלית הנשגבה שהיא תעודתן של ישראל. Right? That's what he's saying, unbelievable thing, right? That it's not that there was a geula. And then we went into galut. If the geula is followed by a galut, it's missing from the geula, and Moshe Rabbeinu's job is not done. אם כן, התורה ומצוותיה, if that's the case, then the Torah and all of the mitzvot, הם נוסעות עליהם, they carry in them. כל העניינים שעתידים ישראל להיות בהם, לפי התחלפות מצביהם. Meaning, that if the plan was all along, as Hashem tells Moshe, that there will be geula, but then there will be galut, and then there will be geula again, and then there will be galut, and then geula, and that after Mitzrayim there will be four more galuyot, followed by four more geulot. What Hashem is also saying to Moshe is, Ekyeh asher ekyeh, I will provide you a Torah that will carry you not just in Eretz Yisrael, but a Torah that will provide for you a derech, a way of living, even in the galut. אם כן, גם השיבודים העתידים, so when we have future exiles, גם כן צריכה להיות התורה לפי ערכם. So there has to be that within the Torah fits with each of the goliot, each of the future exiles. Veshetia arucha, so Hashem has to arrange the Torah in ba'ofen kaze, in a way shetinaheget Yisrael etachlitam, that it helps us reach our best. Gam ben galoy galei hagaliot atidim liot, even amongst the waves of the galiot, which will come in the future. In Cain, Al Cain, Hayanachutz lahem agilui migaliot atidot liot. So then, if that's the case, then the Jewish people have to be prepared. So God says to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, I will give you one galut, one geula, and then I will give you another galut, and there will be a Torah for that galut. And then there will be geula, and the Torah will give you a derech there. And then there will be another galut, and again, there will be Torah for each wave. There will be something in the Torah to carry you through it. Shehi, the Torah, po'elet alehem, affects us. Lahachim lahem ma'amad, gam betoch cheshchat hagaluyot. Because the Torah is our light in the exile. And it's interesting because, as we've discussed a number of times, there has never, ever been any nation that has gone into Galut and maintained their identity in Galut and returned whole and complete. Ein davar kaze. Lo haya, except for the Jewish people. We're the only ones who have carried who we are. Now, what is us? If the Jewish people don't have a Torah, then what carried us through? Right? Other nations have come and gone. You know, the Chinese. The Chinese have been in China for a very long time. But they switched, right? First they were this religion, then they were that religion, and today they, I think, they technically, officially, they have no religion, right?
They have Muslims there.
Well, they've got Muslims there, they've got Buddhists there, they've got Christians there, they've got... Yeah. But the nation is an atheistic nation, right? So you couldn't say it's the same people. But for the Jewish people, we're mamash, the same people, right? If I can make a chain going back to my Rebbe, to his Rebbe, to his Rebbe, to his Rebbe, I can give you a full list, goes back to Moshe Mitzrayim. Right? Not Yeshlanu Mesorah, Yeshlanu Kol HaShemot, right? We have all the names. This was the Rebbe of my Rebbe, of his Rebbe, of his Rebbe, and goes back all the way to Moshe Mitzrayim. And for you also, you have this. You may not know all the names, but if you did some research, you'll find the names. People have done this. Right? The same people. But what's the glue? The glue is the Torah. So the Torah has to be able to apply and to make sense in the Galut as well. Otherwise, when we go into Galut, we lose the Torah and then we fall apart. Vihine, it's a little frightening when you see how many Jews are giving up their Jewish identity. And if they would have a little bit of this connection, you know, they could still hold on, right? So he says, והנה אם הייתה השליחות נגמרת בגילוי. If the שליחות of Moshe would have been completely, you know, revealed, כדי להיות עמהם בגלויות העתידות להיות, הייתה מורגשת בתכונת התורה ההכנה גם כן למצב הגלויות, as we said, that's why Hashem says to Moshe, tell them, you will get Ahkia Asher Ahkia, meaning I will give you a Torah that will work for you on two fronts. It will be a Torah that you can keep in Eretz Yisrael, and it will be a Torah that you can keep in Chutz La'aretz. So that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you will keep the Torah, and then when you go to Galut, you will still be able to keep the Torah. אבל באמת הייתה הכוונה שתהיה הדרכת ישראל על פי זה הדרך שהשם יתברך עמם גם בגלות העתידות. But what Hashem says to Moshe is, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. V'lo sheyomar lahem davar zeh begali. Don't tell them that the Torah has two ways of it being observed in Eretz Yisrael and in Galut. Ki em ehyeh shelachani aleichem. Just tell them ehyeh, meaning I am with you, I will protect you, and I will give you a Torah. V'yachas ha-galui, so that on the outside, what's revealed, יהיה לכל התורה כולה מצוותיה גם כן לפי מצב של גאולה תמידית בארצם. I want to give them the Torah as if there will be no galut. I want them to receive the Torah, to understand that the Torah is really made for Eretz Israel.
That's what Rav Kook said.
That's what he's saying. אלא שכוללת בתוכה, it includes within it, so to speak, a plan B. גם כן ההנהגה הדרושה לזמני הגלות. אבל בעת היותם ראויים להיות נגלים, but when the Jewish people deserve the גאולה, יש בכוחה של תורה לפעול עליהם פעולה של גאולה, כאילו הייתה להם גאולה זו נצחית, as if the Geula is permanent. And this is, again, I want to repeat. What we said was that this is going to be two parts. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll discuss the nature of how the Torah is different in Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz. We'll talk about that next week. And he's going to explain that basically in Chutz La'aretz, we're not observing the Torah in the same way. We'll get to that next week. But today, the reason, which is the question that you asked, why should it be different? So that's what he's telling us. It's because it's supposed to be the way that God wishes, so to speak, it would be if we were to always do the right thing, was that there should be a geula nitzchit. And so he wanted that the Jewish people, at the time that they received the Torah, they should not know that there's going to be another galut, but that they should receive it as a geula nitzchi, which will bring them a deeper connection to the Torah. So Hashem, when Hashem says to Moshe, Ehyeh asher ehyeh, I will be with them in this exile, I will be with them in the future exile, that's for Moshe to know. Because Moshe is the student, right? He's going to receive the Torah and give it to the Jewish people. And Moshe is going to see that in the Torah, it has other opportunities that involve exile. But first, God wants from Moshe to teach the Jewish people that the proper way, in other words, we're not supposed to do things that cause galut. And so therefore, the proper way of observing the Torah is in a way where we are following the Torah, and then the geula is nitzchit. And he's saying that's in the Torah itself, is that there's a different Torah for Geula Nitzchi than for Geula which is followed by Galut. Very deep idea. Okay? So he says, V'lo yechlash koach ha-Geula klal l'sha'ata b'vnei sh'atidot od galiot liot. And so he says, what we gain is, now when someone moves into a house. Now let's say I know that in 5 years from now the government is going to reclaim the house from this person and say that, you know, this is tribal lands. Should I tell the person? The person moves into a new house and in 5 years from now,
I think it's fair to know.
Why?
Because every person thinks about his generation and his children and grandchildren, and they want that they'll all have
their... No, they'll be taken care of. They'll be taken care of. In 5 years from now, the government will give them a different house. They won't be homeless. But I know, I have information, that in 5 years from now, the government's going to come and move this person from this house across the street.
What?
So should I whatever the case is, right?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So, should I tell them?
Yes.
So,
yes.
In some ways,
it's inconvenient if you live in a house to start packing to another house.
Yeah, but if the government comes in 5 years, it'll be inconvenient anyway.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change. No, you're not wrong. I'm saying there's two perspectives here, and that's the change in the pasuk. One perspective is that you should tell them now so that the person doesn't feel the surprise and the shock. But there's another perspective, and hear this. If I don't tell the person until 4.5 years from now, they will live in their house with more peace.
Yeah.
Right? If I don't tell them now,
right.
I tell them in 4 years from now, right, that in 5 years they're going to be moved, they'll stress out then at least these 4 years, they'll live in their house comfortably. Right? So what he's saying is that God wanted that Moshe should teach the Jewish people that only that they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and they should think that they're going there forever because they will appreciate Eretz Yisrael more and they will accept the Torah of Eretz Yisrael on a deeper level because they will see it. But he says it's deeper. You see, in this case, my example is not a good example because in my example, in 5 years from now, when I get thrown out of the house, it won't really matter whether I had peace the previous 4 years. But in the case of Eretz Yisrael, what he's saying is that the fact that there is going to be another galut doesn't take away from the geula that was before. In other words, Geulat Mitzrayim was a Geula Netzchi, and the next Galut is a breach in a Geula Netzchi. Why? Because when we come out of Mitzrayim and we are redeemed, if we would do the right thing, it would be Netzchi. The Bechira, our Bechira is to make it Netzchi. If we would not have done Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayit, Shfichut Damim, if we wouldn't have Sinat Chinam, if we wouldn't have Sinat Chinam, if the Jewish people could get along, we would still be in Eretz Yisrael, all of us, with the Beit HaMikdash. With the, what's the name of the family?
Zenati.
Zenati. We would all be Zenatis, right? We would all be. Why? Because we didn't do Sinat Chinam. But because we did Sinat Chinam, we were sent away from Eretz Yisrael, and we still haven't fixed the problem, obviously, right? But what he's saying is that because it's our option, it's our will to stay in Eretz Yisrael, if we would do the right thing, if we would choose to not fight with each other. So Hashem says, don't tell them. So that they have the option of seeing Eretz Yisrael as a nachlat midin itzchi. And it's important to see Eretz Yisrael that way, not to say we're here for a short amount of time, but to approach Eretz Yisrael as if we're going to be here forever. Afalpi, shebe'emet kol ha'inyanim hem kshurim ze b'zeh. But the truth is that that's the perfection of the Torah. Everything's connected. U'kvar biotam be'eretz ha'kodesh. So even in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, הייתה התורה מכינה באדם מעמד בטוח לעולמים גם במעמקי הגלויות, even in the depth of exile. Meaning, there's two kinds of nitzchi. Okay, this is very, very deep Torah. There's two kinds of nitzchi. There's a nitzchi, which is that you will be in Eretz Yisrael and that you will be in Eretz Yisrael forever. But there's another kind of nitzchi. There's another kind of nitzchi, which is you'll keep coming back. You will
and
keep coming back.
Will always be in your heart.
Right. Right. You'll always be connected, but you'll keep coming back. It will always be your land, and whether it's 70 years or
yes.
Right, you'll keep coming back. That's also a nitzchi.
That's me.
Right. So yeah. If you keep going back, right. So what he's saying is that's the discussion between Hashem and Moshe is what's the best way to set up the Jewish people for this success. Moshe says, "What's the name?" Meaning, which midah, as we explained, which midah, And Hashem says, I will be with you. I will be with you, meaning forever. This is an eternal relationship. God says to the Jewish people, right? You are my bride forever. It's never to be broken. Ekeh. But you should know, Asher Ekeh. There will be Galiot. Moshe says, you want me to say that to them? Hashem says, no. Don't say that to them. But I want you to know it, because part of what we're going to put into the Torah is when the Jewish people will go into exile, they will go into Galut, and they will say, Ma anachnu osim achshav, what can we do now? They will look in the Torah, and they will see that the Torah provides for them guidance and an approach to life and a light in the darkness. That, and not only that, but the Torah contains within it promises. V'shav Hashem elokecha et shivutcha. God will bring you back. V'heshiv Hashem. It keeps saying over and over. You'll go into Galut and I will bring you back. So when the Jewish people see this, they realize, we assumed that we were going into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Zavat Chalav Dvash, to be there forever and ever. It isn't. Well, it was important for us to think that it was Nitzchi, as you're saying. We don't have to think about, as you say, Daya Letzara B'Sha'ata, let's worry about the current problems now. Right? But then for the Jewish people to realize that even in the Galut, Hashem provided a light, not just for the return, for the Geula, but even a light for the Galut itself. And so the attribute of God, and this is how we'll finish, I only have a few minutes, so let me try to put this together quickly. But the attribute of God, of Galut, is the name Ekeh. Right? And that means, not like we say, I will be what I will be, which is how people translate it. I am what I am. That's not what the Talmud understands this means. The Talmud translates those words, Ekeh, I will be with you. There's a sefer. We have very few Sfarim written in the Holocaust. In the Holocaust. There were Sfarim written at the time of the Holocaust, and there were Sfarim written after the Holocaust of people who, for example, Shalot Utshuvot Mima'amakim, which you may have heard of, which is Rav Ashri, the great Gaon, he wrote a sefer of all the questions that people asked him in the Holocaust. He was the Rav in the Kovno ghetto, and people asked him questions. Also, for example, the Weizner Rav was also, Bergen-Belsen. In a number of these places, in the ghetto and even in the camps, there were Rabbanim. Yeah. And people came to them with questions. But these were all written afterwards. There's one sefer that was written during the Holocaust, not the only one, but this one. You probably heard of it. It's called Ish Kodesh. And it was written by Reb Clemens Kalman of Piasetzna, the rabbi in the Warsaw ghetto. And he was murdered, Hashem Yikon Damo, by the Nazis in the gas chambers. But every Shabbat, he had to give a drasha. Imagine, a drasha in the Warsaw ghetto. And so he wrote down his drashot on a paper, and he put it into a can, and he buried it under the ground. And later, some Polish kid found it and gave it to an American soldier, who then passed it along, and eventually ended up. We have a sefer, a full sefer of pirushim on the Torah drashot that this rabbi gave to the Warsaw ghetto. And one of the themes that he keeps repeating over and over again, it's available in translation, but it's one of the themes that keeps repeating...
Was it written in Polish?
In Hebrew.
In Hebrew?
Yeah, Lashon Kodesh. Right? These are the drashot. I mean, he probably spoke in Yiddish, but the notes that he made for himself, they're very short because it's shorthand. Right? The rabbis don't write out word for word drashot, they just make sort of notes. Right? But these were the thoughts that he had. And one of the themes that he keeps repeating over and over again is that we have to remember that Galut is not just our Galut, but Hashem appears to Moshe in the pasuk we read.
Yeah.
Vayar malach Hashem elav balabat esh mitocha sne. Says Rashi, sne, a thorn bush? That's what God appears in? God should appear in the mighty oaks. Kol Hashem shover arazim. V'lo ilan acher mishum imo anochi betzara. God is with us in exile, and God is with us in the troubles. Now you may ask a question, how could God be betzara? The answer is, because God made rules for creation. And God says that this is the system, and God bound himself by the system of creation, which is that when we do the right thing, things are good, and when we do the bad things, things are bad.
But and here, this rabbi was giving the great Torah, and he was killed in Auschwitz.
Right, and he's saying, throughout the Sefer, he's saying God is also Betzara. God is also in the concentration camps. Because the system that's in place, in other words, like this, we have a rule. God does not mess with free will. So what if some monster, wants to come and, bring a weapon into a school, chas v'shalom, and unfortunately it happens way too often, right, and murders innocent children. Where is God? Right? The answer is, God doesn't mess with free will, that's the rules. Right? Otherwise you couldn't have a creation, you couldn't have a world with free will if God messes with free will. So people are allowed to make choices, and the Nazis are monsters, and they did what they did, and God, so to speak, is bound by the systems that he created. If he's going to break the rules of Bechira, then there's no world. Right? So human beings have the ability to do monstrous things, and we have to be better. As human beings, we have to be better. We have to have better control. Humanity has to come together and say, we can't tolerate this. It's the people who stood by, human beings who do have control of their free will. God doesn't control our free will. We control our free will. When the other nations refused, they looked aside until they had no choice, they're the ones who But God himself, Imo Anochi Betzara, when the Jewish people are in Egypt, God is in the burning bush. And the idea that this is what God is saying, Hashem says to Moshe, says, which midah? Hashem says, which midah? Ekeh asher ekeh. I'm with you. I'm with you all the time. And this, I'm going to finish with this. And I need more time to elaborate on this. But I think very often we turn... we become angry. Why is this bad thing happening? Why is that bad thing happening? And God is asking the same question. Because God doesn't interfere with our choices in the world that we live in. Only in certain ways. Again, what the ways of God are is beyond us. Lo darcheichem derachai. No machshavosai machshavoteichem. Right? But God is also bound by this. And our tradition is that in this way, this is what we mean that God suffers along with us, because God wants to redeem us, because Hashem is Keil Rachum V'Chanun Erechapayim Rav Chesed. But Ve'emet, right? Ve'emet means that people make choices. And so this teaching of Rav Kook is saying that God told Moshe, there will be Galiot, but when we come to Eretz Yisrael, that's Geula Nitzchit. That's the way the Torah is supposed to be. If it was up to me, says God, it would be Geula Nitzchit. If you guys can keep the rules and get along and not do Sinat Chinam, it will be Geula Nitzchit. And that's the way it should be. But I'm telling you, Moshe, it's not going to be that way. But I will be with them even when they go into Galut. Bezat Hashem, we'll continue this day. And this is just part one. Next week we'll talk about a little more. This is more the depth that's behind it, but the idea, we should all be zocha that we should see that God is with us in our times of sorrow, but more so in the time of joy.
Where was the Hashem. Galut.
This is in Mitzrayim.
What? No, Moshe took the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, but then they went to
Bavel and Paras, Yavan, Romi, all these future exiles. Yeah. But that's this Torah that the Talmud is teaching us, or Rav Kook is taking us through, that God is with us even there, even if God doesn't want to tell us that, because the best thing would be if we would just be in Eretz Yisrael. Right. All right, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, Mrs. Etuni said that in 1935, the Arabs came to Pkin and they took her father and they said, let's slaughter him. And the Druze that were living in Pkin said, they were our neighbors for 2,000 years. Let's save them. And they brought an Ez, and she said it was like Akedat Yitzchak. The Muslims slaughtered the Ez, and her father was alive.
Wow.
And she still lives there.
Ruti,
אם את בישראל, תלכי לפקיעין, זה כל כך מעניין.
לפקיעין אני ארשום לי.
כן, ורואים שם את המערה על פי האגדה של רבי שמעון בר יוחאי, ומה שמעניין, יש שם מין מעיין קטן ועץ חרוב עתיק. ובית הכנסת הוא עתיק, אבל רק לגברת זנתי יש את המפתח. אז צריך לתת...
זה ידוע שיש שם הקהילה עתיקה בפקיעין, כן.
2,000 שנה.
כן, כן.
יפה, היא אמרה, הגלות היחידה שלה הייתה חדרה ונהריה.
זה כל כך נורא.
טוב.